The following recording is copyright 2013, Diocese of Little Rock, all rights reserved. For more information, visit www.dolr.org.
The scribes and the Pharisees, it may surprise you to know, were very good people. In fact, objectively speaking, the scribes and the Pharisees were among the most moral and devout people of Jesus' time. Jesus himself was a Pharisee. We know that because they called him Rabbi. We forget this because eventually Jesus kind of ran afoul of the religious leaders of his day, and the Gospels focus a lot on Jesus' conflicts with them. And you know, the Pharisees did have a few blind spots, and naturally they talked a better line than they lived. Should be no surprise. The same thing is true for us. It's just the human condition. But as a group, they really did sincerely try to live according to the law that God had given them through Moses. One provision of which called for the execution of blasphemers, murderers, and adulterers. In the Gospels, we see that Jesus rejects the application of the death penalty for these crimes. And therefore, in his own time, Jesus, in some circles, developed the reputation of being an anarchist, a lawbreaker, someone who did not take the law seriously enough. One day, he himself will be executed for blasphemy, hanging there between two murderers. In today's gospel, we've got Jesus rescuing a woman about to be executed for adultery. You will recall that elsewhere, Jesus insists, kind of repeatedly, that he has not come to abolish the law, but rather to unlock its inner meaning and thus change the way the law was applied. In other words, he was not interested in abolishing the law against adultery, but he wants to open our eyes to the fact that since we are all sinners, there is no one alive who is sufficiently faultless in order to carry out that death sentence prescribed in the law. No one is faultless except, of course, him. And as we will learn later, the Blessed Mother, who, by the way, intercedes for sinners rather than condemn them. And Jesus, being faultless, grants this woman clemency. He came to save sinners, not to condemn us. And so he sends her on her way with a warning not to commit that sin again. Notice when Jesus bent down and wrote in the ground, what do you think he was writing? What do you think he was doing? What he was doing was he was writing a new law, a law of forgiveness, a law of compassion. When he says, let the one among you who is without sin throw the first stone at her, he's saying that we who are sinners have to recuse ourselves from judging any case involving the sin of another person. And notice he didn't say, the first among you who is without this sin, the first among you who has never committed adultery, nor does he say, the first among you who has not committed grave sin, mortal sin. Because here he means any sin, including sins that are only in our heart. Anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. That's Jesus' approach to this. You and I are, I would say, for the most part, good people. But like the Pharisees, we too talk a better line than we live. But we do sincerely try to live according to the teachings of Jesus, except, sad to say, often this teaching that we should not judge others. If Jesus came to save sinners, who are we to condemn them? And I'm not just talking about the death penalty, which is something that has no place in any civilized society. Jesus' teaching about that is unmistakable. But you know, people don't have to commit any grave sin to win our condemnation. We oftentimes judge other people's motives without having all the facts. We, sad to say, gossip. I bet that's true for some of you all. Cast verbal stones against people whose foibles and sins are no worse than our own. Try to make ourselves look good at their expense. The sins of those scribes and Pharisees may have been less spectacular than the sin of that adulteress, but that doesn't give them any right to condemn her. And anyway, all Jesus is interested in is healing people, setting things right, bringing forgiveness, setting her free from punishment for that sin, and setting others free from their condemning attitudes. In other words, Jesus came to redeem everyone, including us, to set us free not only from our sins, but also from our sinful attitudes. But that forgiveness which Jesus offers us so freely to us must be accepted by us in a spirit of repentance. And if we have accepted it truly, we will extend that same forgiveness to others.